Hi, I'm Nick Gregoretti, and this is the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast, the show for grapplers and martial artists that want to evolve both on and off the mat. Hello from Northern California. I'm out here at the Grapplers Retreat teaching a seminar in the small town of Mendocino. This is such a beautiful place. I highly recommend visiting this part of the country. If you're ever in the United States, or if you live in the United States, you should really check out this part of Northern California. It is truly something, I hate to use the word magical, but it is just out of this world. One of the best places I've been to on all my travels. Speaking of seminars, if you are a school owner or an academy owner, I just want to let you know that I am traveling United States teaching seminars at the moment. I'm teaching the Beyond Technique seminar, which is my own unique and what I feel is pretty special interpretation of jiu-jitsu, including a bunch of the latest techniques fused with some very easy to use concepts and principles. And if you want to host a seminar with me, please send an email to seminars@jiu-jitsubrotherhood.com, and we'll see if we can make something happen. As anyone who's attended one of my seminars will tell you, you will get a huge amount out of it, and so will your students, and you guys will definitely go up a level in your jiu-jitsu. So also check out the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood online store. You just type in store.jiu-jitsubrotherhood.com and you'll find it. And if you use the coupon code podcast, you'll get 10% off anything in the store, including our awesome Seeker Gi, which is probably the coolest gi I've ever seen, and some of our digital training programs there, including books and videos. Okay, guys, this week we've got Mike Velez, who is the editor and creator of Jiu-Jitsu Mag, which is one of the last surviving jiu-jitsu print magazines. Gig in this day and age to keep a print magazine going, but Mike's done a great job of it. And he's quite an interesting cat as well. He's had quite a unique story when it comes to his business journey and what brought him to creating Jiu-Jitsu Mag. And now he's also got a Jiu-Jitsu subscription box, which sounds pretty cool. And just generally a decent human being. So give this one a listen. I hope you enjoy. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood show. And today I'm with Mike Velez, who is the founder of Jiu-Jitsu Magazine, which I, as far as I understand, is the most successful print Jiu-Jitsu publication out there. Super high quality magazine. It's one I've read many times myself. So it's very cool to have Mike agree to come on the show and share a little bit about his story. How are you doing, Mike?
Great. Thanks for having me, Nick. I really appreciate it. Leading up to this interview, I did some research and I started listening to a few of your podcasts, and really good stuff.
Happy to hear it.
Excellent interviews, and I really enjoy listening to it. In fact, we just did an article on podcasts that is going into the next issue, and we were sure to include the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood in there.
Oh, that's great. That's very kind of you, my brother. So as I usually do with let the record state, I don't know Mike very well. He and I just met, when was that, Mike? 3 years ago, maybe?
Oh, man, it's been a while. You know what? Time flies. Probably, yeah, 3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. you did an article for us on concepts with Paul Moran as your Uki, and it was a really good article. In fact, the one about framing, well, I mean, obviously all of them I use, but the one that really stuck out in my mind when we did it was, using your bones instead of your muscles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, so that was a good article.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, so I mean, that was our brief interaction then, is when we filmed, or we took the pictures, we did a photo shoot for that article. And I think we had a brief conversation right before we the pictures were taken, but we didn't really get into anything serious. So truth be told, I don't know Mike very well, except from that brief meeting and from the reputation that precedes him. So hopefully we're going to get to know you on this chat, Mike. And what I usually do when it's a guest that I don't have a long relationship with is just ask them how they got started in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. So let's see. Let me think back here. Back in January of 2007, well, first of all, let's go way, way back. So not long after high school, I took some classes at a Jeet Kune Do studio, which is, Bruce Lee's martial art, kind of the original mixed martial arts. And at the time, I think one of the Enter the Dragon, not Enter the Dragons, but Return of the Dragons movie had come out. I don't know how legit the guy was, but it was fun. I had a good time, and just didn't, it didn't catch on. It wasn't really my thing. A few years later, I think I did some Krav Maga, and had fun during the drills, but it was all about, somebody wants to choke my neck, with their hands, and how do I escape that and bolt. And so it wasn't really, it wasn't quite for me. And then in 2007, a buddy of mine and myself, we found a boxing gym not too far from our house, our houses, and we did that, and that was pretty awesome. Putting gloves on, taking some punches, giving some punches, learning footwork, getting destroyed by the instructor, really kind of was humbling, and was like wanted, made me want more. And we found a Muay Thai instructor, and we were early risers, and we asked him, "Hey, can you teach us at 5:30 in the morning?" And so he would he wasn't quite down for 5:30, but that was the only time that worked for us. So he would leave his garage door open. We would slide underneath, kind of like Indiana Jones, and hit the bag and kind of warm up for about a half hour. He'd finally come out around 6, and we'd get a half hour of instruction. And that was cool, but it was just my buddy and I, and we could only spar each other so often. And then I think I went to an MMA gym not too far from the house and gave that a shot. And I remember the first, the instructor's like, "Okay, we'll go like 50, 60%." His first strike was a roundhouse to the head. And I was like, "What the hell?" And we were doing some like informal grappling with a friend of ours that was a judo student. And, so it was like tap out shorts, t-shirts, and guillotines. Everybody's trying to guillotine each other.
I remember those days well.
So, and then one day I was driving home and from work, and I saw this big red sign going up on my commute, and it was a Gracie Baja school. And I'm going to sound really ignorant, but even at that time, I always thought that Hoyce and Royce were two different people. So I saw Gracie, and I walked in and met who would later become my instructor, Rafael Oliveira. And he was sitting on like a fold-up chair with a card table, and I might have been his first actual sign-up. And it was like done. That's all I had to do. I'd heard enough about jiu-jitsu. I had a taste of that competitive combat sport with the boxing and the Muay Thai. And that was all I needed. First class,
That's cool.
I was hooked. Every now and then, people talk about, "Oh, there were times I wanted to quit." And, with all due respect to those people that have had those feelings, I've never wanted to quit jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, good for you, my brother. Do you still train boxing and Muay Thai?
No, after you, so I'm kind of an all or nothing type guy in everything in life. I'm not as bad as I used to be. But if I'm going to do something, I want to do it right. I
I'm
want
the
to do a
same.
good job with it.
Yeah.
So I really dedicated and focused on jiu-jitsu. I think I entered my first tournament like 2 months after I started. No coach there. I happened to be in Vegas one weekend, and I was like, "Oh shit, I'm going to do it." And so that's just kind of how I am. I like to jump and then adjust later.
Fair enough. I mean, I was speaking to a kid at the gym, good purple belt yesterday. He's a good boxer as well. He's preparing for his first amateur boxing match, and he said to me that he's noticed something quite strange, which is when you get stale in boxing, you'll take a day off and go do some jiu-jitsu. And if he's doing a lot of jiu-jitsu and getting stale in jiu-jitsu, he'll take a day off and go do some boxing. And when he does either one of those things, when he returns to the other sport that he was focusing on, he notices a jump in ability and that everything just flows more smoothly. And I did read a book on the science of sports training many years ago in which the author claimed that the Russians had discovered that with every sport you master, the uptake of a subsequent sport is easier and learning occurs more quickly. So I wonder if, you know, a guy like you or myself, even when we get focused on one thing and we zone in on it and want to devote all our energies to it, I sometimes wonder if that maybe isn't the best way to do it. And I've personally been thinking maybe it would be good to just go and do a little bit of Muay Thai and boxing, or maybe even wrestling or judo or something like that, just to almost like cleanse the palate and just improve my learning speed and retention for when I come back to jiu-jitsu. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I believe that is probably true. I've seen it in my own, in myself. And then I've also seen it in my son, who's 14 years old. Mm-hmm. As far as me and the boxing goes, so probably about 2 or 3 years into training solely jiu-jitsu, my school got a Muay Thai instructor in-house, and we're offering classes. So I dusted off the bag, put the gloves on, put the pads on, and it was that same thing where, like, I mean, I obviously in jiu-jitsu we're taught to leave the ego at the door, but it's kind of tough sometimes. And it was immediately like getting back into boxing sparring where, you know, one guy's 50% is another guy's 60, which turns into 70. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, you guys are trying to kill each other. It wasn't quite that bad, but taking a few shots to the head reminded me of how much I like jiu-jitsu and how I really care for getting hit in the noggin.
Yeah, that getting hit in the head thing was something I could never really get used to. And I wonder if you can really say that you train boxing if you don't do full sparring with shots to the head.
No, absolutely not. I think that is kind of where it separates, reality from fiction. Mm-hmm. Now, I do strongly suggest that people, do put gloves on, like MMA gloves, and every now and then spar or practice as if a real life situation where strikes are open. Mm-hmm. It definitely cleans up your jiu-jitsu. It keeps things tighter, keeps you aware of the tools that they have, you know, just in case you ever have find yourself in a real life situation. Keeping that in the back of the mind is a good idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Your original question. Yeah. So my son is 14 years old. He's not really a strong athlete. He's not really athletic at all, but he tries hard, and he's got a passion for hockey. So he plays ice hockey at a rec league a few times a week. And he's going into the ninth grade here and going into high school, and he's on the small side. And I tried to get him into jiu-jitsu multiple times, and it just never stuck. And, I don't want to be like, Karate Kid dad, where you're like, yes, sensei, and, forcing him to do something he's not really into. But wrestling, he's doing a wrestling camp right now.
Oh, that's cool.
About 3 weeks of wrestling camp and the drills and, doing sparring in there. On the ice, he's all of a sudden got a better step. He's not afraid to take a hit. Mm-hmm. It's not a checking league, but it gets physical. Mm-hmm. And, he's not as timid in that respect. So, and just from personal experience, so I always make fun of, CrossFitters that want to tell you that they do CrossFit, but I do CrossFit. And that's actually helped my jiu-jitsu quite a bit. I mean, obviously but it's debate whether it's, that type of sport. I'm not competitive with it. I just do it to, mm-hmm. get healthy or to stay healthy and stay in shape. Or I shouldn't say that. Augment my jiu-jitsu training. Mm-hmm. But it definitely, I can definitely see the validity of mixing things up from time to time.
For sure. It's my perspective at this point that anything that improves your athleticism or your ability to get into your body and your kinesthetic awareness will automatically improve your jiu-jitsu, just no doubt about it. That could be anything.
Yoga. I mean, over the course of the years, I'll do yoga from time to time. Mm-hmm. Get into spurts where I'm doing a lot of running, just kind of change it up. I'm not very athletic. I wouldn't call myself an athlete. I'm in relatively good health. I like ice cream, so I'm not quite a lightweight or middleweight, but jiu-jitsu and other activities keep you spry.
For sure. I mean, I think one of the things that I really do believe is that we all have a certain basic level of, or an inbuilt level of athleticism, like according to a genetic preset, but it is definitely not something that cannot be changed through diligence and hard work. You know, if you really make a focused effort to improve your athleticism, it is something that can be improved. Like if your son hadn't gone down this path of playing hockey and wrestling, he would eventually grow to be a completely different person than he's growing into being now. So I think a lot of people can potentially use that as an excuse and say, oh, I'm not athletic, and then they don't do anything. And then they really are not athletic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree.
For sure. So, Mike, I wanted to ask you, I mean, you've done something pretty cool in the jiu-jitsu world, which is the creation of what I would say is the de facto jiu-jitsu magazine. And you did it at a time when print publications, I mean, I guess the industry was struggling because of the advent of digital reading and Amazon and Kindle and things like that. What was the point where you decided, I'm going to start a jiu-jitsu magazine? What was the impetus for that?
So I started my first magazine in 1995. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I think we had AOL. Like that was the extent of the internet. My dad and I had a small retail hobby shop. We specialized in radio control cars. I was into radio control car racing, and I thought there was a need for another magazine out there. So I was going to school for finance at the time, and created my first magazine. And it response was positive but lukewarm. But I stuck with it and poured more energy and time into it. And by about the sixth or seventh issue, it started to get a lot of traction. And it kind of became my career after that. And over the course of time, I scaled that business up to three magazines, two monthlies, one bi-monthly, 16 employees, pretty good revenue. And then 2008 hit, and October 2008 specifically, the recession. And that was brutal on magazines. I mean, there was already kind of, with the internet becoming more, or high-speed internet becoming more available to everyone, reading print kind of got passé. Mm-hmm. So the advertising struck, and that was really difficult, and put a strain on that business. I ended up selling one of the publications and then folding the other two.
Okay.
But at about...
If you don't mind me interrupting you, Mike, was that your like dark night of the soul period of your life, or was it not that bad? Or
yeah, that was really rough. I learned quite a bit. So I was going to school when I started the business, but I was not... I've always been an entrepreneur from grade school, you know, selling bubble gum to my classmates, washing cars, had a products business with my dad back when I was 14 in the RC market. Mm-hmm. And the hobby shop. So it was kind of in my blood, but I didn't have that formal education. And when I started the business, I kind of, you know, it was kind of the school of doing with the businesses, and it was great. Well, business was great, but then when tough times hit, I made some mistakes. I had a real family atmosphere with my employees, the people that you know worked on the magazines, and I was very slow to cut costs and to lay people off just because that was a conversation I never wanted to have. Mm-hmm. And it ended up putting us in a really difficult financial position, so that when the economy turned and the lines of credit that I had were pretty much immediately put to zero. Mm-hmm. And that was very difficult. And it was a hole that I wasn't able to climb out of with that business. Mm-hmm. Let's see, I got into jiu-jitsu 100% kind of in 2008. And I still, you know, the other businesses were still going on. A friend of mine that I was training with, he said, hey, why don't you do a jiu-jitsu magazine? And I looked at the landscape, and there was Gracie Mag, There was BJJ Legends had come out with an issue or two. I think that was it at the time. Or there was Ultimate Grappling, which became Ultimate MMA. And I actually approached the people over at BJJ Legends, Chris Shaw, about helping them, you know, trying to work with them and you know, maybe helping them with layout or, you know, just having so much magazine experience. I wanted to help them. I was a blue belt or white belt maybe at the time. And I was just excited about, you know, jiu-jitsu and the magazine business. And they were kind of reluctant. They didn't really want to, you know, it was kind of like a side hobby for them. And then finally I called them, you know, out of respect and said, hey, I'm going to get into the business. Just want to, you know, give it one last shot of us working together. And they're like, no, go ahead, do, you know, do your thing. Mm-hmm. And so the first issue, so getting a magazine on newsstand takes quite a bit of pre-planning. And the first issue came out in April of 2011. And I think we started the hard process in about August of 2010. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, at that exact same time, Callum Medcalf over in the UK had the same idea. And he, BJJ Style and Jiu-Jitsu Magazine, or Jiu-Jitsu Style? Yeah, Jiu-Jitsu Style. And Jiu-Jitsu Magazine came out within like weeks of each other. And we were on the opposite ends of the globe. And we had the same idea. We were both like blue belts at the time. And it was just funny how that kind of worked out. But since then, Gracie Mag has ceased publishing in English. I think they still publish in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Callum's gone on to other things, and he's retired Jiu-Jitsu Style. We are the de facto leading jiu-jitsu publication in the world.
That's great. Now, I guess my next question is, what is it do you think that's differentiated you from the other magazines and kept Jiu-Jitsu Mag at the forefront and kept it in business and in publication in the, as I said earlier, this climate which is not necessarily conducive to doing such a thing? What is it that separates you?
Well, I think probably persistence. You know, I'm not a quitter. I like to keep going. So there have definitely been some times where, you know, maybe my time and energy would have been better spent elsewhere. And since then, we've actually started a few other businesses related to jiu-jitsu that have helped make put us in a stronger position than we would have been relying solely on print. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I mean, there's a certain there's definitely a difference in reading print versus online and the ability. I don't like to read long form online.
Me neither.
I like headlines, quick stories, and videos. As far as like getting into, I don't think I could ever read a very long article and stay engaged digitally. And I'm 43. I mean, I understand I'm older than our average reader. But that's just a habit. You know, I like print. And also, you know, as far as a marketer's standpoint, there's a lot of trust that you get being in print that you just don't get digitally. I mean, anybody can do a Facebook campaign or an AdWords campaign for a few dollars. And I don't think there's much trust that's conveyed in that medium where print companies like Airbnb, Uber, have recent Casper Mattress, all, you know, digitally grounded companies are launching print publications.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that.
They see the subconscious value and conscious value of having that print medium.
Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be, I mean, I have a theory that there's going to be this weird sort of backlash and return to the source type movement over the next few years where people are, they're just suddenly going to get burnt out on the fact that they stare at screens for 12 hours a day, and they're going to want to have an actual book in their hand and an actual DVD, or they're going to want to return things to the tangible variation. And I hope it comes sooner rather than later, because I'm myself getting a bit burnt out on everything being digital.
Yeah. I mean, for the longest time, social media was fun. The last few years, it hasn't been as much fun. Mm. everything's an argument these days. Mm. So yeah, there's time. I spend less time on social media, But yeah, so let's see, getting back here, I've got some ADHD, so I can't remember what your
Well, I was just asking how you separated, what separated Jiu-Jitsu magazine from the rest, and persistence was a good answer, and I'm starting to realize that that is what separates pretty much everyone who's successful from everyone else, right?
Yeah, just sticking with it. Mm. And I had mentioned some other businesses, so about a year and a half ago, I was approached by Kim Giraldo, who owned Grappler's Toolbox. It was a monthly subscription-based subscription box for jiu-jitsu athletes, and we had sold her some magazines in the past. And she said, "Hey, I want to get out of the business. I want to do something else. Are you interested in buying it?" And I didn't get into the subscription box business, even though I had my eye on it for a while because of that relationship with her. I didn't want to kind of cross that line. So when she said she was for sale, or was for sale, I jumped at the opportunity. And then a few days later, just by accident, the BJJ box, which was another subscription box, Tori Applegate and her husband Sean, they wanted to get out of the subscription box business. So I ended up purchasing the two of those, and they had a similar offering, similar price point, and we put them together. And since then, we've grown that business probably about four times.
Wow, that's fantastic.
In a little over a year. Actually, more than that. We just launched a quarterly offering that did really well. So yeah, that's helped out, you know, make up for, any changes in the business on the print side, or at least actually through kind of, there was a downtime, but actually, our subscriptions are up right now. Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned that return to, traditional mediums as, we're starting to see it already. And we did that. And, we also have a laundry detergent that we kind of came up with out of necessity. Mm-hmm. You know, going to class and having a clean gi smell before you touch anybody is kind of off-putting. And so we dug down deep, found a chemist, and really investigated the cause of that. And after about 8 months or so of testing, we came out with Absolute natural fiber laundry detergent. And and that's kind of been a nice little, you know, thing that we've done on the side that's helped a lot of people. We mm-hmm. get the letters all the time from people that are so happy their geese don't stink, and they've saved some geese that they thought were done for.
That's great. I'd always believed that once a gee got to that point, like where the bacteria had kind of colonized it and taken over, that it was just done and that you had to throw it away. But that's cool. That's great news. So, Mike, the last real question I have for you is, during this time that you've run, or that you ran, have been running Jiu-Jitsu Magazine, which is, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned it was 2011 that it began?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's coming up in 7, 8 years. And, you know, if you just look at the assorted covers, you can see that you've basically met who's who of the athletes and the instructors, and I'm sure you've also met the entire who's who of the people who run the industry and do podcasts and sell products and things like that. So I wanted to ask you, having met pretty much everyone, who stands out in your mind? Who stands out as being an especially cool dude or girl, or just someone that you'd want to spend more time with, even if they weren't a business associate of yours, or just someone that just comes to mind?
Oh man, there have been so many. I have a few that come to mind, but I don't want to single them out, you know, just because there are so many great people and friendships, relationships, acquaintances that I've met through jiu-jitsu that are just amazing. For the most part, everybody is, you know, they're humble, they're gracious, all the qualities that we see or, you know, we profess about jiu-jitsu, I've seen firsthand in so many occurrences. I'm a huge Hickson fanboy, kind of. So whenever I get the opportunity to do something with Hickson, I always jump at the case. He's just got a philosophy that, you know, it's tough to find elsewhere. He kind of embodies a lot of the qualities that we all talk about. Mm-hmm. And right next to him, as far as I've had the opportunity to do, we've never done any real technique. We've done a little bit of technique with Hickson, but not much. And a close runner up to that is Henry Aiken. We've done multiple articles with him. He's extremely accessible to me. Rolled with him quite a bit, and he's probably had the greatest his jiu-jitsu, which is you know, in the same vein of Hickson's, has probably had the most influence on my game.
Well, that's cool. And, yeah, he's a good dude. We had him on the show as well. He's a very interesting man.
And it's been funny. Like so early on in the magazine history, we did an article with Lucas Litch, a half guard article, and at the time, I think I was, you know, just a few years in, and it was really high level stuff. And I was like, oh, I'll never use any of this stuff. It's like way over my head. And then, you know, 4 or 5 years later, I go back to that article, and it's like, now my jiu-jitsu is caught up to that article.
Huh,
and it's awesome. I mean, it makes, you know, back issues. If anybody's listening that's been a long-term reader, you know, take a look at where your jiu-jitsu is now and go back into some of those back issues, that articles that you might have glossed over because it didn't quite fit your style, or you didn't quite comprehend what was going on. Mm. You'd be amazed at how much stuff you know, you find so much usable as your tools progress.
Yeah, I've seen that in my own life, and pretty much every aspect, whether it be parts of my jiu-jitsu or part of my work or anything. If I look back to 10 years ago, I'm like, Jesus, I didn't know anything, right? Like, that's cool. Mike, if the people want to engage with you and the things you do, is there any specific place they should go check out online? I know Jiu-Jitsu Mag is available on many newsstands, but where else could they find out more?
So, you know, jiu-jitsumag.com is our website. On social media, on Facebook and Instagram, it's Jiu-Jitsu Mag. On Twitter, it's Jitsu Mag. Mm-hmm. And somebody took the Jiu-Jitsu Mag one on that one. Or just shoot me an email. So my email is Mike V, MikeV, at jiu-jitsumag.com. And any questions or anything like that, I'd be happy to talk to anyone.
Great, Mike. Thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Thank you, Nick. I really appreciate it. And I wish you the best with the podcast and all your books, DVDs, all the stuff that you do. You've not only contributed to my jiu-jitsu directly, but I'm sure countless others.
Thanks, buddy.
It's clear that Mike is, above all things, a professional. And I think it's very important for anyone who wants to make it in the jiu-jitsu industry to realize that passion will only take you so far, and that you will need to hustle, and you will need to be a professional if you want to make a career in the jiu-jitsu industry. And I would highly recommend you check out Jiu-Jitsu Mag if you get a chance. If you haven't yet read a copy or picked up a copy, you should check it out, because it is a very high quality publication. It can stand toe to toe with any publication from much bigger industries. And there's a lot of good content in there, so check it out. Okay, guys, I hope you have a fantastic week. Train smart, have fun, and live with passion. Peace out.